What is happening? Welcome to another episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and today we have a very special episode. Huge thanks to Netflix for making this one happen as they have the Field of Dreams game coming on August 13th, 2026 from Dyersville, Iowa. And Matt Vasgersian is here. Oh my gosh. It's great to see you, man.
What's up, Nick? Yeah, good to be with you.
Oh, it is very strange. I know all of us heard that voice so many times from probably playing video games or, of course, watching The Angels, or maybe it's from Supermarket Sweep. I don't know.
Can I get up just for a second? I want to show him off. This is my David Ortiz puppet. I call him Big Poppet.
No way.
And I used to use this in a more comedic fashion. I haven't really broken him out for a while, but I used to have like the little things where you could operate his hands and stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually showed this to Big Poppy at one point. He wasn't as thrilled about it as I thought he'd be, but he did laugh. He did think it was funny.
Okay, hold on a second. So isn't that from like a This Is SportsCenter commercial or something like that? Or am I getting that wrong? No, you just had this like custom made.
Correct. I had this custom made. I had a Kennesaw Mountain Landis puppet made as well, and I can't find it. I think he might have been stolen from the house here. And I used to use these at MLB Network. I actually got them to pay for it, actually, which would never happen today. I'd never be able to fly that one through accounting today.
Okay, wait, are you a ventriloquist then?
I aspired to become a puppeteer, for real. Not a ventriloquist, that's a whole different skill set, but there is a craft and an art form to, you know, maneuvering the mouth, the hands, making him as animated as possible, writing your dumb dialogue. I had a lot of dad jokes for Poppet, and Big Poppet itself was, I thought that was funny right there. But that was kind of the end of the bit. Like, I named him Big Poppet and then didn't think of much more material. So it kind of died.
I mean, I got to say, it's pretty hilarious that like someone as like you who has such a recognizable voice is like, all right, you know what? I want to go into something where I can't use that exactly. I mean, obviously you can manipulate your voice really well and everything along those lines, but that just blows my mind. I love it so much. Now I'm kind of thinking, man, can I make some of those? Like, I made a bobblehead for Alex Fast, for example, for his 30th birthday back in the day, and I got to do more of those things too.
Yeah, that stuff's amazing. Good, man. It's we all have that kid stuff in us. Like the Saturday morning cartoon, child of the 70s that I am, is still in here, and I have to reaccess it every once in a while, because as you get older and the stakes get more serious with kids and family and taxes, you can lose your joy unless you remember it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. And really, yeah, as I ended up before, you got your start in game shows a little bit. Like, you did the new dating game. Is that right?
It's true. That was, you know, college, you're looking for freebies at anywhere you can find them. And the quote unquote new dating game was casted, and I got chosen as the picker, the bachelor. And the studio sent a bus to the fraternity house that I was living in and picked up these 75 idiots. And they were outside the studio. And I remember like hearing this ruckus, all the stage managers were making this big deal. All these guys are going to be nutty, you know? And I looked out the back door and there's a line of these morons. They had a keg in a trash can, and they had the solo cups out, and they're, you know, getting ready, getting lubed up, getting ready to watch me on the dating game.
Oh my God.
And it was,
how did it go actually?
The young lady that I chose, I don't think she really, you know, liked me. She was nice enough. We, you know, nice person, but we went on a trip together. We went on a free trip, and it was, you know, it was paid for by whatever studio that was at the time.
I mean, that's kind of the dream, even if it's someone that you don't necessarily date or whatever, just saying, hey, this is a free trip. We can be nice to each other. We can be civil. We can just enjoy this, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That's wild. So, I mean, okay, on that same line, then, if you were to do a game show on MLB Network, I know you've thought about this. You're talking about the fun and the kid in you still. What is that game show that you want to host that you're going to pitch to them?
Well, man, we did one and it was a ton of work, and they decided it was too much work and the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. It was called Baseball IQ. And as a kind of beta run for this thing, they decided that they'd run it as a tournament, and the contestants were employees from each of the 30 Major League Baseball teams.
Oh my gosh.
So the dude, Shane, who won it, it still works for the Angels, and he was a sick savant, encyclopedic mind about baseball trivia, to the point, Nick, that on our final stage of the final game, like, it's him and another dude to determine the grand champion, he caught an inaccuracy in one of our questions and we had to stop down taping and we're like, oh, you're right. Sorry. Let's do that over again.
Oh my gosh.
But pulling off a game show is exceedingly difficult. I think, and you know, at risk of like giving up my creative, my proprietary stuff here, I'm crazy for Immaculate Grid. And that's how I start my day. They post a new grid at 9 a.m. every day. And I sit there and noodle around with it a little bit. If it's in my wheelhouse, if it's like Brewers, Padres, A's, Yankees, Red Sox, like that's my kind of superpower there. Yeah. I'll do it to completion. But I think it lays out so beautifully for a televised game show. Problem is, we're not watching that much TV anymore as a people. Maybe it's something that could stream someplace, but like even Family Feud style, you had three members of the 2015 Red Sox against three members of the 2002 Padres, and they're going back and forth playing Immaculate Grid. Like, I'm a baseball geek, and for me, that's nirvana. Not sure everybody would feel that way, but
I certainly would. It's actually kind of funny. Like, everyone has ideas. It's about execution of it, but it does really start from a place of like, okay, wait, hold on. Can we combine these things this way? The design of it is always really interesting to me. And I could totally see something like that happening. I mean, for me, when I played Immaculate Grid, obviously, all I know, Matt, if you don't know clearly, I just follow every single starting pitcher. I write about them every day, right? This is my thing.
I
know everything about all of those. Those cardboard cutouts of hitters, I don't know who they are. They're just there to serve the purpose of the pitcher, right? And the so I always did it as much as possible with random pitchers. I think I got one day of 3% total. Something like that. Yeah. I was just so happy. No one remembered that Vince Velasquez was on Houston. No one remembered Dave Malicki, you know, on the Dodgers. Like that kind of thing. I was like, yes, this is my day, you know.
Hey, can I hit you with a Dave Malicki story real quick?
Oh, I would love one.
His brother Doug pitched in the Astros minor league system. And in 1996, I was working as the radio voice of the Tucson Toros in Tucson, Arizona. And Doug was on that team. So a very good friend of mine was working on the film Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase, the sequel. We were playing the Las Vegas Stars. And my friend said, hey, come out to the set. You know, you can watch us film. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. It's can I bring a couple guys on the team? Sure. So I bring Doug Malicki, Chris Holt, who got to the big leagues for a while, and Doug Malicki's dad came, also Dave Malicki's dad. And at one point, Mr. Malicki started kind of walking around the set, unshepherded, unherded, walked through the background of a scene. And Chevy Chase, who was known to be very in control of his productions, looked at a monitor, saw this random Yahoo walking around the back of the casino and said, stop, stop, stop. Who the F is that? And pointed at Mr. Malicki, who just wanted to die in his own skin at that point. God. Shouted down by Chevy Chase on his set for Las Vegas Vacation.
That's unreal. You know, it reminds me a little bit of my dad was a recording engineer for like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And he got to be on a lot of records. Like he was an assistant engineer for Madonna. There's a story of her banging on the door and went for like the bathroom door after like a 10-hour session and screaming at my dad, time is money and the money is mine. It's like, okay, Madonna.
Wow.
But one of them was... I'll go into more detail another time, everyone, but he actually worked on The River, that Bruce Springsteen record.
Oh, very familiar.
And his job at the end of the night was to make copies of all the tape, right? This is back in the day before like computers did everything. You actually had tape that you had to run it through and copy and splice and everything. So my dad's like, all right, he's putting them in. And then he steps away for a sec, comes back, and he realizes the first 45 seconds of what was supposed to be the final take of this was just shredded. Was just destroyed. This is one of the songs going on Springsteen's record.
Oh God!
And he stayed there all night, and then the main head engineer came in, and they spliced it with another take for the first 45 seconds for the 1 hour that they had until Bruce showed up, and they finally played back for Bruce. Like, hey, Bruce, we had some ideas with this take. What do you think? You know, you like it? I mean, it goes back. My dad's like just dying inside, just like sitting like, please, please. Oh my God! He goes, sounds good to me. And that's it. So my dad forever changed Bruce Springsteen's song, some random B-side on that record. It's all the things of my dad.
If that track was The Ties That Bind, which is one of my favorite tracks on that album, then the wordplay is just too obvious to ignore.
You know, I'm just going to say, yes, it was. Absolutely was, Matt. 100%. We're gonna take a very quick break here, but I can't wait to talk more about Matt. We're going to go more into, of course, baseball, everyone, in just a moment. And huge thanks again for Netflix for setting this up. The Philadelphia Phillies will take on the Minnesota Twins for the Field of Dreams game at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time via Netflix. You do not have to have an advanced subscription. You can just watch it with any subscription of Netflix. So cannot wait for that, but we'll be back right after this break. All right. So Matt, we got to talk about you just being an announcer. And I think one of the fun questions I ask typically for players is, what is the pitch that they remember the most? What is, you know, the worst moment that they had as a pitcher? I want to hear your worst moment as an announcer at the major league level. What happened? What was going on? How did you recover from it?
Easy one. Cause I seem to remember it every fall. Oh, no. And it was, I want to say it was 2016, the year the Guardians, the Indians then got to the World Series against the Cubs. And I believe en route to that series, that was the Francisco Lindor, he had a big homer. Mm-hmm. In one of the games of that series, and it was in Cleveland, it was a cold night. There's a production assistant for Fox, and I was doing the game with John Smoltz, who, Cuban girl, very helpful, very cute. And she was offering Cuban coffee to everybody on the crew. She made Cuban coffee. I'm like, Cuban coffee? I love coffee. Sweet. I mean, just eating some pizza, learning about Cuba. Like, I'll have a Cuban coffee. Didn't realize that it's like, you know, jet fuel. And that you don't drink Cuban coffee the same way you drink Dunkin' Donuts, truck stop stuff.
Oh, no.
So I'm like 7-8 in, and I'm drinking like mugs of it. And you know the Beavis and Butthead scene where the great Cornholio comes out after he'd been in the candy? And that was me. And I was crying on the air.
And so we can hear this. We can hear like that energy.
Oh,
that
It's rather regrettable. and I don't know, something happened. There was some unusual play on the field. Something happened which begged a proper explanation. And I was in no state of mind to give it. And it was horrible. And I was convinced, that was one of many moments where I was convinced that the phone would never ring again and that I needed to go back to
very happy that
business
did.
School. I did, but not without a lot of self-loathing.
And look, guys, everyone has these moments. This is why I like bringing these up, because yes, everyone does. And we carry on. We still do incredible things, right? You're going to have those down moments. It happens.
We try.
Do you remember what game it was? One of those, maybe like the fourth game or so.
I don't remember which game in the series it was. Yeah, it was a great series, but I mean, if you really want to embarrass me and find it, you could. I would ask that you don't.
Oh no, I can't do that to you. I would not. This is just for my own personal. Like, all right, I'm just curious about it. I will say it is a lot better than the opposite, Matt. A lot better than you just like being too tired or too disappear. Like, you want to have energy in some way, and I'm sure for a lot of us, we didn't even realize it. You know, we're just going along with the game too. We're feeling like that as well as things are going on. It's complex and whatnot. It's not what, that's okay. You're all right. I'm glad that you have a lesson for the future, but totally fine. I've heard a lot worse stories than that.
Look, you're no good until you fail, honestly.
Exactly.
In all honesty, you have to fail. We hate failing. But if you have those moments where you got a horseshoe up your rear end and you never stumble into anything that's unseemly or bad or your own doing or your own fault, you're really kind of missing the experience of becoming better and appreciating when you're good and when you have stuff right.
Right. When you're the smartest person in the room, you're not in the right room. It's also why when it comes to prospect pitchers, I don't really truly get excited for them until they fail, until they have their adversity and then succeed after. It's kind of interesting, actually, with like Skeens right now. This is the first time ever. I think he's going to be so incredible after he figures whatever this is out for him. I want to go on the other side. I do want to say, what is your favorite call? And I don't want to hear a Santa Maria call. It's a wonderful call. I know. I heard the story about how I believe it was in your family that you heard someone exclaim that a line and just kind of happened. But I want to hear a different one. Just a moment in the game that you just like, this, I nailed this one. Killed it. Yeah, tell me about that amazing moment.
Oh, man. Well, when I was younger and my first few years in the big leagues in Milwaukee, I just didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it to amuse my partner. And I knew when I got a legitimate chuckle out of him, I'd done something right. Bill Schroeder, who's still there doing Brewers games, who's a great guy and was so good to me at the time, helping me grow as a broadcaster. I used to do movie lines and scream nonsense and song lyrics. And when it made sense, it worked. Sometimes it didn't. But I do remember there used to be a clock at Pro Player Stadium where the Marlins played when they shared that facility with the Dolphins. And there was a clock that kind of extended like a half moon over the left field wall. Mm-hmm. And one of our guys, I think it was Mark Loretta, hit a ball that hit the top of the clock. So if the clock hadn't been there, it's a homer over the fence. I yelled that Loretta had just gotten clock blocked and felt pretty good about that and felt I was disciplined for it. Like, and I was like, come on, really? It's just
this
a play
is a G-rated podcast, Matt.
Okay. What they always used to say, they always used to tell me in Milwaukee, especially, and they're good people that I worked for there, but they'd be like, you know, you could get suspended at ESPN for that. I'm like, well, I'm not working at ESPN. Oh, you know, man. It's okay. It's a clock blocked. It's a play on words. I didn't say it. Just go with it. But I felt like that was
where those who shouldn't hear it and don't know what it is. Right.
Yeah.
Get upset about it. It's okay. They can hear that. So
I guess. Would I do that today?
Right there.
I would not do it today. Like I'm, but yes. You know, again, this is younger you when right. Everything's fun and you're just kind of, you still are in that mindset where I'm sitting with my buddies. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, things are a little different now out there in the world for sure. And for me, they're different too. Like you grow up a little bit.
Right. Would you ever want to be in that environment again while announcing in the same sense of, right, you're held to such a high standard. Of course you are in the broadcast that you do. But there is, for example, I was a part of Playback before it was shut down. And Playback was a place where we could live stream these games and bring on our friends and then have a live stream with everyone across the world watching like it's a Twitch stream. And there's a different that happens there, right? Where it's just kind of more relaxed. You're just hanging out. You're having that fun attitude that doesn't have to be a very specific presentation that gets kind of read in a way as, it's incredible. I couldn't do it, what you guys do, but it's also to a T that doesn't have the same relatability almost as it would of just hanging out.
I get that. I get what you're saying. Would I want to go back to that time? I would, if only because the kind of subculture of gotcha reporting wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
And now there are people on social media, there are web platforms, there are streaming platforms that are dedicated solely to sports announcer screw-ups.
Yeah, right.
And they revel in it and they love it. And sometimes it's done with some jocularity to where we are forced to laugh at ourselves. Sometimes it's done in a mean-spirited fashion. And it's hard to kind of distinguish between the two sometimes. Yep. I prefer none of it was out there because at the end of the day, we're trying to make a living the same way the next guy is. I think some of those hater type mentalities don't really understand that. But so I'd like to go back to a time before that existed.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Then again, like there's some accountability that comes along with that part of the culture now. Mm-hmm. It makes us a little bit smarter to know that there's some person back there who's got headphones on, who's just waiting for you to mess up because he's going to send it out on Twitter immediately with a link and it's probably going to be looped so you can never get away from it. Yeah.
Oh man. It's, I understand this too well. And it's a weird balance of, right. You want to have some accountability. You don't want to, you know, you're not going to progress if you're not having someone. So you're saying, hey, cool, this is how you do it. You're not going to be able to refine yourself as you do it.
Yeah.
And also, it's the way I look at it is there are a lot of times that players screw up. And I have a huge thing where if players do something and they don't say, hey, you know what, that was wrong, then I get upset because they have to have some sort of accountability to it. I don't think that in general we have enough accountability for everyone. So, yeah, you guys are going to make some mistakes, of course. There are some times where it's really bad. And if that person doesn't come out and be like, look, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, then sure, hold them to that. But if they do that, we got to be able to move on. We can't hold on to it. And like, that's a real, real problem that we get.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are always going to be people that are ridiculous and find a way to take advantage of others' failure, which I think is a horrible way to live. So agreed. I'm sorry that you've ever had to go through that. You don't deserve that whatsoever. You're fantastic at what you do. We have to wrap up. I am so sorry for taking extra time here, Ross, as well behindhand. But I want to remind everybody to go watch the MLB Field of Dreams game on August 13th, only on Netflix. Matt, you will be there with many others, Albert Pujols, Anthony Rizzo, CC Sabathia, etc. You got to watch. It's always a great event. Matt, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. It's really nice to meet you.
Great chatting with you, Nick. And I'm thrilled for this game, not only because it's going to be a fun event, but I'm with some of my most favorite people in baseball, and you just named them. So I love spending time with that group, and we're going to have a blast.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Matt. On behalf of him, my name is Nick Pollock, and we'll talk about the craft of pitching again next week.